Welcome to Singer Leewek's podcast series, brought to you by the professionals of Singer Leewek from various areas of expertise. Our podcast series touch upon different subjects related to growth, strategy, tax advisory services, and technical and regulatory matters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to podcast number 4 of The Fran Factor, coming to you from the accounting firm of Singer Leewek. I am Laura Buitrago, part of the Business Solutions Group of Singer Leewek.
And I'm Reg Bird, part of the DCB Franchise Group here at Singer Leewek.
And today, our topic is what makes a business bankable? So the reason we're coming up with this topic today is because we know that right now during 2020 and going into 2021, a lot of businesses are experiencing growth and some businesses are experiencing a period of recovery. So the biggest question out there is, how can I get the financing or resources that I need in order to be able to continue to pursue my growth or my recovery? So Reg and I thought it would be a great idea to have a podcast that talks about what makes a business bankable. Bankable pretty much means what makes a business sufficiently healthy enough to receive interest from lenders in order to get a loan. Another reason I think it's important that we talk about it is because Reg has had 17 years of experience in franchise financing and development. So Reg has spent so much time working with lenders. He has a very, very good idea of what bankers are looking for. And so we thought we would share this experience with you today, not to mention myself as working with my clients and being their accounting expert. Sometimes when my clients go to get loans, I'm actually the one who speaks to the prospective lenders, answers their questions, provides the information they need. So in a nutshell, both Reg and I can give you some good insight. So we want to give you 3 things that we have determined that are some of the most important things that would make a business bankable. We also want to confirm and reassure you business owners out there that financing is still an option for you, even during the end of 2020 going into 2021. So the first thing on our list is we want to stress the importance of having 3 years of solid financial statements. Reg, what does that mean?
Laura, some of the things that you hit on are just exciting to me, quite frankly. The fact, first of all, that lenders are lending. Banks are open, they're in business, and lending is going on. Another thing that you mentioned is, of course, my experience, and I bring a lot to the table. And in conjunction with what you do in Business Solutions Group, Laura and I are a solution. We're a solution to help you understand, first of all, what you need in order to become bankable or be bankable. And then once you are, as a group, as a team, our 2 practices within the firm can actually place the financing for you. Now, Laura placed emphasis on the fact that we're part of a franchise group within Singer Leewek. However, I want to point out that we have placed financing for many, many kinds of businesses, not just franchises. So on that note, let's keep in mind that this is not franchise-centric specific, although I should tell you that we've worked with over 570 different franchise practices. We've placed over $2.2 billion in project financing, mostly in the franchise space, but certainly have worked a lot outside franchising as well. So that said, as Laura indicated, one of the first things that we want to be sure of with our clients is that they have 3 years of solid financial statements. Those statements are the P&L, the balance sheet, and a cash flow statement. Of course, along with that, the banks are going to be looking at your tax returns. They're going to be looking at 3 years of your historical performance. Now, if you're a startup business or you have a startup in mind that you want to pursue and you need financing for, the rules are a little different, of course, but some of this applies as well. So keep in mind, even if you're an existing business looking to grow from where you've been or you're reemerging and you want to expand and so forth, or those things are what we're going to be focusing on today. However, startups are also something that we're very, very familiar with. And in fact, most of our clients in our franchise practice have been startups. So anyhow, just wanted to put that out there too. Getting back on track, P&L, balance sheet, cash flow statements, and then of course the banks are going to be looking at tax returns. They're going to be looking at 3 years of historical information. So some people will say to me, hey, I have my tax returns. Can't you just use those to underwrite us? Why do you need the P&L also? And that's a really easy answer. And that's because over the years, we've had folks turn in profit and loss statements and their tax returns, let's say 2017. The P&L for 2017 doesn't match the tax return for 2017. Don't know how that happened, but it happens. So that's why we always want to be sure that we have the financial statement that supports what's on the tax return. An important note to keep in mind is that a lender is not going to loan money to a business that has not experienced net income. What does that mean? I'll give you real life examples. We have clients who will come to us and they will tell us that their net income is a loss. And they'll be perfectly honest and say, because we didn't want to have to pay taxes. And I get that. I know that, you know, owning a business is a way to limit the amount of taxes or reduce the amount of taxes that you have to pay with write-offs and so on. That's real life. I get it. However, sure, it's not real life in lending. And so if you expect to receive financing for your business to do whatever it is you want to do, even if it's just a line of credit, you cannot have tax returns that are going to show a loss. That just isn't going to work.
I know, Reg, that maybe some of the business right now hearing this, some of the business owners right now hearing this, have a sinking feeling in their heart. But I think that, and especially now when we're going through a bit of a, like I said, period of recovery for some businesses and some industries, there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And Reg, you and I were talking the other day about a client that you worked with back during the economic downturn of 2008, where obviously they had a few years of loss. This was a home entertainment business. But Reg, I would love for you to share with our listeners right now what you did in order to be able to help them get a loan of $21 million. So let's hear it, Reg.
I'm so glad you brought that up. A business came to us in 08. It was a family-owned business, and the patriarch of the family who started the business years and years ago decided, you know what, this economic downturn is killing our business right now. I'm of retirement age. I have my reserves set aside for my life to be able to retire, so I'm just going to close the doors. Well, that is all fine and dandy. However, his son-in-law worked for the business. And so the son-in-law is like, okay, you're going to close the doors, but where am I going to work?
He's not going to have a job.
Right, exactly. So the son-in-law came to us and said, hey, I need to get financing to buy the business from my father-in-law. We looked at the financial statements, and of no surprise, as he had told us, and the downturn in the economy, the business had declining revenue over the last few years, and we're showing losses. Prior to the economic downturn, the business had been doing extremely well, had done very, very well for many, many years. The business not only did work for individual residences, but they also did corporate work. They did boardrooms and conference rooms. So they had some really, really big jobs, and they were making quite a bit of money. So what we did in that situation, just kind of to cut to the chase, is we sat back and thought, okay, how are we going to approach this? This is a phenomenal business. Hate to see them close their doors. Why don't we take the last 3 years of historical performance when the business was operating well, and then carve out the part of the financials that showed, or the years of financials that showed the downturn in income as a result of the economic period. So carve that out and replace it with the period of time that the business was doing well, and
so
what their normal.
So in essence, a pro forma, a recast of the numbers, assuming the downturn had not occurred.
Perfect.
Using the growth pattern they had prior to the downturn.
A recast. So now we were looking at financials that would have, in our best opinion, represented what the business would have done, how it would have performed, had the economic downturn not hit. From that, we then projected out 5 years to determine what the trajectory would look like, to be able to show a lender, hey, this is how they would have performed had the recession not hit, and this is what they're going to perform like once they come out of the recession. And it showed, you know, it showed great figures.
So you did mention something that I also think is very important to business owners today. You mentioned that this business was also able to show proof of their reaction from the reality that was the downturn. So the downturn happened. It was great that you were able to recast. But what you mentioned that the lenders also liked was that you were able to show that this business had streamlined their costs, cut back on their workforce, which I know is painful, but sometimes necessary. And I know business owners a lot of times have a hard time doing that. But they were able to prove that they saw this downturn happen and they reacted in a responsible manner to be able to continue to keep the doors open. And the banks saw that these owners were good business people, good operators. That's another thing that banks look for. They want to make sure that the business owner knows what they're doing.
Couldn't have said it better. That was absolutely something that we brought to the forefront with the banks to show them, hey, look, these are the adjustments that the owners made when the recession hit. They were reactionary and moved quickly, and so they minimized their losses.
And one thing I want to point out is that was thinking outside the box a little bit, but the main thing also that you had discussed earlier was that some business owners feel that if they just hand over their tax returns, that's enough. Or you've seen business owners that the tax returns and their general ledger don't exactly agree to each other. And that is exactly something that working with our firm, with the Business Solutions Group, or working with DCV Franchise Group, those things wouldn't happen. I mentioned earlier that a lot of times when my clients go to banks to try to get a loan or refinance a loan, one of the things that they say with pride is that, oh, and we have an outside CPA firm who handle our books. And I cannot tell you how many times I end up speaking to that prospective lender, and they are thrilled to be speaking with somebody who knows accounting. They're thrilled that this business owner has had the foresight to hire accounting and finance experts to maintain their books so that the business owner has proper accounting information and has available at their fingertips the 3 years of solid financial statements that we are talking about. So I do want to stress that to you business owners out there. Get your accounting and finance experts in place.
In my day-to-day life and doing what I've been doing for so many years, I can't tell you how many times I've ended up talking to the CPA and how refreshing it is and helpful it is to me to put a program together to present to a lender, because I can't tell you how many business owners don't even know what a balance sheet is. They don't know. And of course, I'm talking about small business owners, but this is a problem. You've got to know what a balance sheet is, first of all, and moreover, you've got to know what's in your balance sheet.
And I think that's a good segue into point two, Reg, because the second item that, in our experience, lenders look at, what helps make a business bankable, is a debt-to-income analysis. Without a balance sheet, you're not able to show this. So, Reg, take it away here and explain to the listeners, what is a debt-to-income analysis?
What I always try and help folks understand is that the debt-to-income analysis first applies to the individual. So I'm talking about an individually owned company in this case. A lender wants to see that your personal annual income satisfies your personal annual debt service, your credit card payments, your installment payments, your mortgage, your property taxes, insurance, HOA, what your household family budget is on an annual basis for utilities, food, and so forth. So how does your income compare to your debt service? Once you reach a ratio of right around 1.25, the gate opens and a bank will want to look at the rest of your project and what it is that you're trying to do. But your backyard has to be in order first in order for the bank to look at what you want to do with financing for the business and to grow your business or whatever the case might be. So keep that in mind.
And one of the things that we also want to stress to the listeners is when a prospective or potential lender pulls your balance sheet, they look at your cash balance, and from there, they go straight to your liabilities because they want to know that you have enough money to service your debt responsibly. And that's the key. I also want to stress to the business owners out there that a lot of times they'll ask for you, what are your minimum monthly liability payments? And when you provide that number, they make sure that you have the income to manage those minimum monthly payments. However, as a business owner, you want to be able to pay down more than just the minimums. You want to have enough to cover not just the interest and your monthly minimum, but also to have a direct hit to your principal. Otherwise, you're always going to have that liability hanging out on your books for a long time. And banks do not want to see high amounts of liabilities because they're also going to become a liability as well. They want to make sure you can handle everything. Reg, you and I were talking the other day of a business that you and I were looking at together where this individual wanted to purchase a building. And one of the things that struck us is how high the liability balance was. Did you want to share a little more on that, Reg?
Absolutely. I look at the cash, you know, the assets are right at the top. The cash is at the top, and then I jump to liabilities. In this particular example, I had the balance sheet up on my screen, and I was looking at the cash, nice cash balance, but I happened to see in, I guess you could say my peripheral vision, I saw a very, very long list of liabilities, short-term, long-term, and so forth. So when I got to the liabilities, they ended up adding up to a seven-figure amount of liabilities compared to the income that the business was generating was way, way too high. It was overwhelming, in fact. And so while the business was managing well through COVID, through the economic downturn, managing well, they had made necessary adjustments in the operation of the business, still had net income, able to pay for their debt service and make their payments. Although, as Laura was mentioning, they were making minimum payments. And this is just not a good message to send to a lender. And in this particular case, even though it was going to be a loan to buy a building, an asset, a hard asset, real estate, which banks love, we were not able to move forward with this particular project. It was very saddening.
So in order for the listener to be able to, a lot of listeners are probably in this situation, Reg, and I know one of the things that with your expertise in finance and operations, you would be able to strategize with the business owner to bring that number down. So I do want to let the listeners know that Reg here is one who can help you to, he will help you come up with that roadmap so that you can be more attractive to lenders.
Right. And there's also ways to consolidate the debt as well. We have financing facilities that look at the debt that you have and see that the interest rates are unreasonable, that the debt overall is causing a certain level of hardship. And in a hardship case, even though you're servicing the debt, it's still a hardship because of, like I said, the interest rate and you're not hitting the principal. There's lending facilities out there who will refinance that debt and get you into a program that makes more sense. And sometimes it's even an SBA loan, Small Business Administration backed loan that banks lend on, but facilitated by, or I should say, insured by the Small Business Administration.
Well, thank you for that, Reg. That was some really good insight. I do want to get us to our third item that we believe businesses need to look at in order to make themselves bankable, and that is projections. We have already alluded to this throughout, that banks look at projections. Projections are extremely important to a lender because it shows proof that you understand your business, that you understand how to operate your business, you know where your business is going, and you know what you need to do to get there. So, Reg, I know you have also some really good insight on this.
I do. Thank you. And I know we're really about to run out of time here soon, but I'll give some overview here about projections and really touch on the high points. One of the things that you mentioned earlier had to do with the business who had experienced a downturn because of the 08 economic downturn in the economy. Compiling the projections for this business was key to the lender in seeing how this business was going to perform as they pulled out of the recession. The projections are crucial. 3 to 5 year projections are going to be necessary. 3 years is very, very important to be clear on assumptions. After the 3 year mark, depending on the sector that you're in, the fourth and fifth year projections are kind of hard to put your arms around. Mm-hmm. So 3 years, if nothing else, you've got to have in place. And this is something that our group together, Laura's group, my group, can do for you. And we do very well, have been doing many, many years, and we build these projections based on what we know lenders are going to want to see. Sometimes we'll see projections from clients, and the projections are just way out of line. Bank wants to see conservative projections.
Well, and banks will also look at the assumptions that you used in your projection model, and they will question them. And as a business owner, you need to be very clear and concise with your assumptions.
Confident.
And that is something that you can strategize with Reg on where should your assumptions be. So for instance, you cannot project 20% increase in revenues every year unless you have a reason for it. And you might have a reason for it. That is something, that is how you need to develop your assumptions so that you could present it to the lender and show them why those assumptions are credible.
I can give a quick example on that. When we build financial projections for presentation to lenders that are part of the business plans that we put together, in fact, our business plans have 3 years of financial projections, cash flow statements, balance sheets, break-even analysis, best case, worst case scenario, and all of these have very granular assumptions. For example, payroll is my example. Our payroll assumption is based on an estimated number of years the business will be open for business, how many full-time equivalents it takes to operate the business during those number of hours, what average rate is being paid. We calculate in manager salary, owner salary, all those kinds of things. And then we calculate out payroll taxes and workers' compensation. That just gives you a high-level view of how granular we get with just Absolutely. One of the line items in the projections.
Absolutely. Well, I hope the business owners and you listeners out there have gotten some good information. We did try to give you real-life examples that you can then give you some ideas. So thank you very much for listening to us today. Our contact information will be included in the thumbnail for this podcast. We hope to hear from you. Call us if you have any questions or want to talk about anything. We're always here and available for you. Thank you so much for listening to podcast number 4, and we hope that you join us in the next podcast. Have a good one.